Welcome to episode one of the Sweet Nature Cruisecast. Hi, I'm Lynn. As always, I'm joined by Marky.
Hello.
Hello. But first, a little mood music. Wow.
Yeah, I'm really not sure about that intro yet. Episode one intro. Episode two may be different.
It may, but it has set the tone.
For a Negroni.
For a Negroni. So let's imagine it's late, we're in the lounge on QM2, and we're going to talk things cruise.
Okay, that sounds good. But we thought we'd start off episode one.
Oh.
Not assuming that people know necessarily who we are.
No.
And just talk a little bit about who we are and Sweet Natured and the podcast. And okay. Then we've got some news to talk about from this week's news, including the Sun Princess cancellation.
Thanks.
Sorry for the reminder. And some other bits and pieces.
Okay. So we're in the Commodore Club on QM2, and we're going to talk about who we are.
Are we?
Yes.
Looks suspiciously like our lounge. Obviously, for those of you that are listening to this on audio, as opposed to watching the video, imagine a lounge. That's where we are. Not a Commodore lounge. Oh. Just a normal living room lounge.
I thought we were going to do a bit of cruise role play there, but obviously not.
No, it don't work as much as well when people can see the podcast as well as listen to it.
Okay.
But for those of you with imagination, pretend we're in the Commodore.
I'll turn us off. I mean,
the video, not the whole podcast. That'd be nice if people listen to the podcast.
Okay, thank you. I feel we've gone off on a tangent.
Well, that's how these are going to go, because we're shooting them like we would do our normal voiceovers, single take, no script. We've got some topics we want to talk about, but not a script.
Let's go back to, we're in the Commodore Lounge. Let's introduce ourselves.
You start off.
Hi, I'm Linz, and we have a little YouTube channel and now a little podcast talking about cruise things, and we do little reviews to help you cruise. Is that a good summary?
It's a start.
Yeah, I mean,
the channel we started, what, just over 2 years ago now?
Yes.
So, post-pandemic, we came out of it and thought, let's do a cruise channel.
We did. Yeah, because we make the videos of things that we want to find out. Not necessarily typically vlogs in the traditional sense, but we do things that we want to know, basically. About drinks packages, about the we take a bit of a deep dive. Is that a good summary?
Yeah, it's things that, you know, when we're doing cruise research, and yes. You know, for various reasons that we'll get onto in a minute, we've done a lot of that this week, we want to try and find ourselves.
Yes.
So we love watching cruise vlogs. You know, some of our favorite YouTube channels are cruise vloggers. We don't really do that style. It's more sort of reviews and tips and sort of getting into a little bit more on that.
So
having said that, we have the YouTube channel membership and we do sort of more traditional vlogs on there, but not on the main YouTube channel.
Because we figure if you want to see what we do and know a bit more, we don't want to, if we're not for you, then, you know.
No, we're not pushing that on the main channel, but there is more that you can find if you want to.
I don't like talking about myself. Let's talk about cruises.
Well, no, we have to tell a little bit more, because you can't assume that anyone who's listening to this for the first time or watching it has watched any of our sort of bits.
Okay, well, let's just be quick about it. I'm drinking a Negroni. It's 11:38 in the morning on the day that I should be boarding Sun Princess. Does that?
You phone down now,
thank you. Does that? I think that
covers off an awful lot. It's 11:38 on a Sunday morning, and you have a Negroni.
Yes.
Traditionally associated with the Commodore Club, sort of pre-dinner or post-dinner.
Yes.
So, yeah, we thought we were right to have sort of that style of drink for the first
podcast. It was the tune's fault.
We'd been sort of listening to sort of the intro bit before, like, what cocktail? Well, it has to be a Negroni.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Early in the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, as I say, we started the channel a couple of years ago, and it's been great fun.
It has, but I'm uncomfortable talking about myself, so let's talk about cruise.
Okay. Well,
we're married. I think we've
had we can talk a little
bit more.
We're
not brother and sister, just like to point out.
No, because the similarities are uncanny. I'm sure that anyone who's watching this, obviously those listening, maybe not, but anyone watching will be like, oh, they look so alike.
They must be related.
No, we've been together, what, 38 years this year now?
Oh my goodness.
So it's our 30th anniversary in a few weeks.
It is, and we're planning
a few weeks at the time that we're recording.
We're planning on doing something special.
We are. Fingers crossed.
But not in the way that we planned on doing something special.
Before
we should have been.
A new something special.
A new something special.
Yeah, we both have full-time jobs. We're not full-time YouTubers or podcasters.
No, you can tell.
What do you mean from this highly professional setup that people might guess that we don't do this every day?
Let's go back to the cruise things now.
Okay.
And so I can have a drink.
It gives you an excuse for a drink. Well,
11:40.
What we thought we'd do on each of the podcast episodes, and it'd be great to get some feedback from you. So if there's things you'd like to see us or hear us talk about doing more, please tell us in the comments, drop us an email.
Oh, dear.
If you like what we're doing, then fantastic. We'll do more of that on episode 2.
Can I just say, please be forgiving. This is our first time.
Yeah, on a podcast.
Be gentle with us for this episode.
Yeah. Maybe be gentle for the first 2 or 3 episodes with us on the podcast. YouTube, we've been doing for a couple of years now, so we kind of got used to where we are. We're there. The live streams, we've been doing them for about a year, so they're a little bit more. But this is a little bit different for us.
Yeah, and I feel we've still not talked about anything cruisy, apart from today we should have been going on some.
Well, that's a brilliant lead-in.
Thank you.
Well done. So we're going to talk about sort of some cruise stories in each episode.
Goodness, darling. Yeah,
but we're starting off with a really big one.
Okay.
For us personally. Yeah. I mean, it's big, to be fair, within the cruise industry, not just for us. But today, which is the 18th of February, the day that we're recording.
2024.
We should have been boarding. In fact, we should have probably just boarded.
Yep.
Princess Cruises' new Sun Princess.
Central European time.
Yeah, which is what so we should have been Thank on you. There now. And it was only 3-4 days ago now.
Yes.
We found out the cruise was cancelled. Mm-hmm. So this was its rescheduled inaugural. Originally, the inaugural was on the 8th of Feb.
I want to say that.
Yeah, so it's 10 days.
Yes, yeah.
So, and they notified everyone sort of just over 2 weeks before that, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. That unfortunately the ship still wasn't quite ready. They had a couple of bits to do in the dock and then it would be setting off and the new inaugural would now be the 18th.
I'd just like to add, they never put that in writing. It only appeared on Twitter to say that the cruise on the 18th would be going ahead. They never called it the inaugural. They never called it the maiden.
No, they didn't. And to be fair, when they then cancelled this one, and I think it was later on
28th is it that it goes out?
Yeah, I think it was later on in the day after the announced the cancel, which I'll come back to in a sec.
Mm-hmm.
The press release that then came out on that was the first thing that we'd ever seen that talked about
a
new maiden. So whilst ours wasn't cancelled and they talked about it still sailing, there was never this official press release from Princess, and I think a lot of people felt sort of a little bit nervous about that we're going on the 18th. So we knew quite a few people.
Yeah.
And so there was this sort of trepidation, will it go ahead, will it not? But when you get to within 3 days before we were due to take off, and 4 days before the cruise.
Yeah, because we were flying out the night before, because we don't fly on the same day.
No, we try and avoid doing that. I mean, we know lots of people that do.
Yeah.
We just prefer to be there a day before, get settled in, and just have a nice night where we are.
Yeah, try and get the sort of time.
And not the panic of, you know, something being delayed and missing
your
cruise.
No, we don't like that.
But we sort of go out for work as we normally do on Wednesday, which was Valentine's. And we were sat down here. We get up for work about 5:30 in the morning.
I'd just like to say, I'd written you your card and the night before, and in it, I'd wrote some lovely things about what a wonderful holiday we were going to have and how I was so lucky.
I'm laughing because it's on the shelf at the side of me there, and I can see
and
it.
And that we were going to have a wonderful time and, you know.
But the thing is, we'd opened the cards that morning when we were having a cup of tea.
And read them.
And I said to you, I would debate in putting something in about the ship in the card, and I didn't want to curse it.
The thing is, normally the first thing you do is like, you get your breakfast, you have a cup of tea, and then you check your emails and sort of sort yourself out for the day. Because it was Valentine's, you'd not done that.
No, so you'd gone up to get ready after breakfast. I was just tidying up down here, at which point I checked my email. And I shouted up, I'm like, they've cancelled the cruise. To which some expletives did leave Lindsay's mouth. I know you're going to find that hard to believe.
No, I didn't swear in a big way. It wasn't a big swear. But
there were swear words within it.
I didn't think it was kind of you to do it to me on Valentine's morning. I thought, that's not nice. Have you?
You thought it were wind up.
I just thought, but Valentine's, no.
No, no way would anyone do that, especially a cruise line that's associated with the love.
All the love.
And that for me were the weird bit of everything that happened. Whilst I'm sure they had internally at Princess a go, no go day in which they had to say, right, we now can't do the 18th. And I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
I don't think that they only knew at 2:30 our time. On the morning, which is what time the email was sent, that cruise was going ahead. I think they probably knew 2 or 3 days before that.
Now, this occurs to me. I've been thinking about this a lot this week. If you are going to cancel a cruise, should you cancel the cruise within the time zone, within a reasonable time of the time zone, that the ship's leaving?
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
I mean, so this cruise was going out of Europe.
Yeah.
And should they have informed the people that it was being cancelled?
You mean the passengers?
The passengers within a reasonable time of...
Do you mean the time zone to, say, not doing it at 2:33 thing in the morning?
Yeah.
Yes, but the vast majority of passengers that would have been on that ship would have been from the US.
Well, we saw, was it Port Monkeys that had packed and they were setting up? We know people that had already set off and were in Rome.
We were in the Facebook group for
that sailing.
And people had already put pictures up the following evening of them arriving in Rome and how they were excited. Because for a lot of people, it's a bucket list location.
It is.
You know, we can take it a little bit for granted being in Europe anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, but to travel all that way to Rome and to everything else that's within there. You can imagine that it being cancelled.
Because we've been to Rome a few times. Yeah, so we went the day before.
It's a fantastic place. I'm looking forward to going there again at some point.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you've got out there and it's been cancelled, that's even worse. But I get what you mean in terms of that time slot. Should they have done it at like 5 p.m. that day, Central Rome time? I think they tried to tie it into where it was, where most of the passengers were coming by.
I mean, imagine getting on the plane.
Yeah.
In the US, landing in Rome, and then finding your cruise has been cancelled.
Well, so we saw the Port Monkeys, who they'd already they won the 20. No, they won. No, they won the 8th.
Yeah,
and then the 18th, they won back to backs. But that first one had been cancelled from. They were literally leaving the door to go to the airport. The bags were at the side of it. They were going to the airport in an hour.
Yeah,
and then found out.
Yeah,
you know it's. I always assume that everyone checks their email constantly, but I think that's a work thing. And the reality is, I know most people don't.
Now,
so imagine you got to the airport or you've checked in or at what point, you know, even worse, you check Wi-Fi on the plane, which has cost you a load of money. And then you're sort of midway over the Atlantic and you find that your cruise has been cancelled.
Oh, let's just think. Let's take a moment to think about those poor people. But I've also had another thought.
Oh, careful.
I know. In respect to the compensation for cancelling, they have processed that really quickly, which good on
incredibly
them.
Incredibly quickly.
Good on them, which also means that they probably knew a few more days before they did. But they have, in respect of the cruise credit, that appeared within 24 hours.
It was less than that.
And here's a tip for people. If you're expecting a cruise credit, it comes individually as passengers, not all to the lead passenger, doesn't it?
So... We had our cruise credits come through, and it was the same day. So I told you at 6:30 that morning that it had been cancelled.
Yes,
before we went to bed that night,
we'd already had it back.
The cruise credits were already on there. But I looked on and I went, well, that's strange. It's only half the amount of what we expected. And I'm like, hang on, that's in my name.
Yes.
So then we checked under your Princess account, and of course, there it was.
Yes.
When we then looked at potentially booking something else just as a test to see what happened, it pulled everything together. I didn't have to then put in your details.
No.
It pulled it all in. So we do know that a lot of people have looked at it initially and gone, hang on, that's not as much as I thought I would get.
Now, we have had people ask us as well, because we had time off from work and both works have been really really good about it in respect of cancelling at such short notice, and then saying that we could rebook something with short notice. But in respect of, a lot of people said, well, why don't you just jump on something? And then we talked about this and we said, we don't really want what we feel is, because we had looked at plan Bs, hadn't we, in respect of what would happen.
When the first cruise was cancelled on the 8th,
yes.
So that was 2 weeks before when ours was cancelled.
Yeah.
We started looking at plan Bs then.
Yes.
Because we thought, hang on, are they really just going to cancel the one cruise? But at the same time, from a PR and a marketing perspective, try and get all that bad news out in one go.
But the issue we had is our plan B departed the day, wasn't it? Because it was the Norwegian transatlantic, Norwegian Joy.
Yeah.
Because we were like, if we were going to get cancelled, this is not being on.
Well, we had another plan B as well, which was the Windstar from Barcelona to Rome.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're like, hang on, that, we can still tie some things
and
up.
And we should
because
get a good price because it's so close.
And but the problem being, we missed both of those sort of plan B ones because it got so close within it. And I think that, you know, we were well within our rights, and I think most people, that when you get 3-4 days out from a cruise like that, where it's inaugural and it's not cancelled for bad weather or, you know, something along those lines, then to expect it to go ahead is not unreasonable.
No,
yeah. No. So as soon as we got inside that sort of 1 week window, we were like, oh, okay, it's definitely going ahead now. And then when it was cancelled, we looked at a load of plan B stuff. We spent
did.
A full
evening. Well, Valentine's
evening and following day.
Valentine's evening was the most subdued Valentine's we've ever had.
Well, what did we rename it?
Midweek Wine Wednesday.
Yeah. We decided it wasn't Valentine's Day anymore.
No, we just drank wine and
the romance went out of the window.
There was
that
no
day, didn't
romance,
it?
Darling. You did have some flowers for me, which, well, it's not those flowers, but I've got some over there. But because you weren't going to get me any flowers because you said there's no point because
we'll be traveling in a couple of days. We just have to throw them away.
But that was it. It was just like.
But we did spend a lot of time looking at alternatives for short term. It's like, is the things we can get on this weekend.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to cancel holidays at work.
It just felt so much like a rebound.
Yeah, it's probably a good way to describe it. Don't get me wrong, I'll go on any cruise at any point.
Yeah.
But this is our 30th anniversary that's coming up.
Yes. And that's probably
that was the bigger thing for us. There's not enough time between now and the 30th anniversary to go on a short one and then another one for his anniversary, because that's only a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I think we had that in our head then of going, well, Sun Princess was so special for our anniversary. And it's 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
It's quite a big tick one. That we didn't want to just go on something for the sake of it.
Yeah.
And the more that we looked at things, because it was so close,
mm-hmm.
The more it was, that we'd be going on that just for the sake of it. Now, don't get me wrong, when we found out sort of some vlogger friends of ours, the Cruise Monkeys, were going on Azora, and we were like, oh, we could sneak on that. That'd be quite nice. And there was still enough time at that point. And we'd had the money back as well. And they were like, hang on, go back to our original thing of this is our 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, let's
just
take a couple of weeks.
Just take some time.
So as you said, we spoke with work. And both of our companies were fantastic.
Yeah.
They're like, it's not a problem at all. Cancel it. You can come back to us, give us a couple of days' notice that you want to go on something else. Still take your time off. Which that was the deciding factor then. It's like, okay.
Yeah, we can take some time, which we have.
Yeah.
Which we have. And we've gone down so many cruise rabbit holes because now we've got the cruise credit to play with. We've kind of upped his budget, which is dangerous.
Well, it's because we've got all the money back. What we should be doing is looking at spending exactly the same sort of money and then going, oh, we've got this budget, we can do that on another one. Instead, we're going, we've got more money.
So we're probably going to go further afield. So we're now looking to see where we can go.
Yeah, and we've looked.
Like a bucket list. Cruise.
And we've looked all over, haven't we? You know, we've been looking at Japan, Alaska. Basically, this is a future cruise credit from Princess. Anywhere that Princess goes, that's a little bit further away. So, like, okay, where can we go? So we haven't full on decided on that at the time of recording.
We're not nailed down for anything right now.
No.
It's just what.
We will be in the next couple of days.
I'm sure we will, because you like to sleep on things.
I do.
You do.
A bed normal.
Yeah. And it's just, we don't want to go just like, we don't need to burn a hole in this pocket, basically.
No, but it feels to be doing
it. It does.
You look at your sort of future cruise credit or your bank account and you go, that wasn't in there before.
Yeah, it wasn't.
That's cruise money.
It is cruise money. So now we have to decide where we're going to go, and that's going to be interesting. I'm going to have and the thing is, we love looking. We watch everybody's cruise videos. So we've watched all. I think we've watched. In fact, we've got more lined up.
I think we've finished YouTube this weekend.
No, we haven't. We haven't. But we watched everybody's and anybody's videos. Yeah. Even just like that's not specifically cruise videos. That are things that people have just put together for the family. We've been watching that as well. Yeah,
just to look at this sort of merely wide spectrum.
Yes, and also in respect of then you look at. So the cruise thing is one thing. The excursions, wowzers, are another thing.
Depending where we're going.
Depending on where we're going.
Like I said, when we looked at the Alaska stuff, some of the cruise excursions up there, compared to Caribbean or Mediterranean, are very expensive.
But they're like, oh, you're only coming once. I think that's what their general theory
is. Yeah, you're probably not going to do that. Certainly from our side of the world, you're probably not going to do that every week.
No, but like the Husky thing, we're like, oh, well, we've got more Husky options because we can
do the
Norwegian fjords.
And head up that end.
Yeah.
So as I say, not decided yet, but yeah, it's been an interesting week. Yeah, I really do hope that Princess Maiden does go ahead, some princess on the 28th.
Yes.
I hope there's no more delays in it now.
No.
I think that they just need to get that ship out now.
Yeah, and then sort of get it out there, see people enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's
going to be 10,000 passengers that were due on those first cruises who are not going to be, they're happy about it. But if they get it out there and they can show the ship running and all the stuff that's on it, build up that excitement again, get people back on.
Yes, like Icon.
We still desperately want to go on it.
We do. And like, we've been watching all the Icon material as well.
Yeah.
But we've got to admit, when it came to Icon, we watched the cruise vloggers that we enjoy, like Paradj, and then we've got No Ordinary Adventure. I can't remember. It's Peter and Kitra. We love them. Watch them. We watch Joe's World because he's not a cruise vlogger. So we like to see what cruise vloggers think of it, and then we like to see what non-cruise vloggers who like Disney.
It's been interesting to sort of watch how, because you've got two massive ships from two massive companies.
Yes.
Carnival Corporation with Princess, Royal Caribbean for Icon of the Seas.
Yeah.
How both of them approached a massive new project, brand new ship types of Baltimore Spear class and Icon class.
Yeah.
And, the promotions that they did, you look at the marketing on Icon, it's almost a lesson in how to market a cruise ship.
Do we know who is the godmother or godfather of?
Messy, isn't it?
No, of some princess.
No.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It is messy, isn't it, for Icon?
Messy, because he's an Icon, so they picked him as Icon.
Yeah.
And you can buy the shirts, but they're about $100.
But again, going back to that Sun Princess one, I don't know who's been named. I'm sure I probably do, and I've just forgotten.
You know what?
It's certainly not as high profile.
No.
As that. And you look at how they both approached it when it was having the sea trials. There were a lot of stuff online, and Royal Caribbean putting their official stuff up when it were doing its transatlantic over San Juan, when it were arriving in there, all the media trip. You look at how they approached it, whereas Princess had been very quiet about it, really, since about late September, October. There'd not been much out. There'd been like the odd drip feed about some of the restaurants.
I would like to see their project Gantt chart for.
I want that. Just imagine the project behind. I mean, just the project side for the marketing of Icon. Let alone a project for building something like Sun Princess. But it's been fascinating to sort of see those two, because it's within literally a month of each other.
Yeah.
You can do that direct comparable. This isn't during a pandemic.
No,
it's not during different things in the world.
No.
It's not one big and one small.
No.
So, but it does bring me on to another news story.
Ooh.
I know. Nice segue.
Oh, wow.
Which is Royal and Carnival have both placed some big new orders this week as well, and announced them. And Royal Caribbean has just ordered another Oasis class ship.
Now that's interesting.
For 2028.
Wowzers. Because that's interesting. They've ordered another Icon class, which is going to be Star?
Star of the Seas. Yeah, because Princess's next one's called Star as well.
Princess in the Sphere class. Yeah. But it's interesting then they've then swung back to Oasis class. I wonder if that means that we, and by we, I mean the UK, Southampton, now get an Oasis class ship. That would be marvellous.
Well, that's then their eighth.
I think it might be.
I might be wrong on that.
Please tell us.
Yeah, but be nice.
It's our first time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's their eighth one. So, yeah, if you look at them putting one in each major area, that should mean that we get one, hopefully, in the UK in 2027, maybe.
Yeah.
Because Independence is going to be a 25 and 26.
Yeah.
So maybe 2027 we get one, which would be brilliant. Because the Oasis class one, for me, is still my favourite class of ship.
You love it.
Not just of Royals, of anyone.
You love it. You love Central Park.
I think the design of it is pretty much perfect. I know there's been a lot of talk about Icon and how people feel that it's, you know, the pinnacle evolution of that. I don't. There's areas where we've not been on it.
No.
So, you know, I'm not saying that we have. But just from that flow.
Yes.
Oasis for me is just. I know for a lot of people it's still too big.
Yes.
But I do love that ship. So when they said they were doing another one, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that they've gone back to Oasis.
Yeah.
Size again. I say it as though they've gone back to like.
Well, you have to bear in mind.
That,
you know, they've only just delivered Utopia. Have they delivered Utopia?
No,
it comes out this year, doesn't it?
Later this year, yeah.
Yeah, so they've had an Icon, then they get Utopia in the same year. Mm-hmm. Then we'll get Star.
Yeah.
And then we'll get Unnamed currently. Oasis Class.
Yeah.
8. But also Carnival, which is not a cruise line we've been on yet.
No, we haven't.
They do very little from Europe and even less from the UK.
It's very pricey.
And we tend to get the older ships.
We'd get the older ships. They go out of Dover. And then when we cost them up, they're not.
And Dover, for anyone not from the UK, is down the southeast coast as opposed to.
And it's more of a trade port than it is a cruise port.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's not somewhere you go, oh, let's set off on the cruise from here.
Yeah.
We've had Disney set off from there before.
Disney have gone from there, yeah. I think they're back in there from Southampton now. Because if there's any issue with it being a trade port, it's the main access to Europe in respect of the ferries and everything.
Yeah, it can be a bit of a mare getting down to that.
Yeah.
But certainly going out of Southampton or Portsmouth is an easier path for passengers.
Commute, yes.
And like I said, commute, getting there, etc. Yeah. It's just a lot easier. But it'll be interesting to see if Carnival, because it's other cruise lines, P&O, Princess, go out of the UK constantly.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if they're thinking about, you know, with all their new cruise lines that they're pushing out,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to put one more permanently based in the UK and Europe and try and build that brand a little bit more here.
Yeah.
I still heavily associate Carnival with the US market.
Yeah, we do. And they did a major campaign a few years ago, but then sort of pulled it back.
Did we have Carnival Pride out of here for a little bit?
I think we've got Carnival Pride this year as well.
Right.
But you'll have to bear with me while I check that.
You don't need to check it now.
Thank you.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those are. But again, that's, you know, billions of dollars continuing to be put into the industry with new ships, because they know that they're pretty much hitting capacity at the moment and need more availability.
I mean, you say that because I was then checking due to our, the amount to our cruise credit. I was checking quite a few cruises for Princess. I'm going to have to decide on something pretty quick, because every time I was looking at everything, they were sold out. The sailings.
Yeah, they were available and then gone.
Sailings were gone.
Well, we know, again, speaking with Gavin and Luke on Azora. They got the very last 14-day cruise on that, because it's made up of two 7-day ones on P&O's.
Yeah.
They had a look, the availability. They booked onto it. When we looked, it was only then the 1 week one that were available.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you could technically do 2 1-weeks, but you couldn't do it as the back to back.
No.
So, you know, things are selling out quickly, and, you know, we can see the need to get more stuff into the itinerary.
Yeah.
Which, great from that side. Not always the best of news from a passenger point of view, because when there's that demand and there's not currently the availability, the prices.
Yeah.
And the prices have gone way, way up in the last 2-3 years compared to sort of pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
At least, you know, from me casually looking at it when we're looking at booking a cruise.
Yeah.
And then the last bit of cruise news that I wanted to talk about in this episode is linked.
Yes.
And that's the sort of ongoing issues around the Red Sea, which I don't want to get into.
Oh my
all
goodness,
the political
no, that's
side in there.
Let me have some Negroni. That's not what.
Oh no, it's not a heavy one. Mm. You know, it's causing a lot of cruises to have to
divert
and take alternative paths. I know Virgin are looking at it as well for the relocation of
Resilient
Lady coming back up from Australia.
Yeah.
But the one that sort of really caught my ear in the last few days at time of recording was the Royal's Ultimate World Cruise.
Oh, they're having to vote on the change of...
Well, I don't think they're having a vote. I don't think the passengers went, you know, we demand a vote. But what... The World Cruise is Royal's first World Cruise in a long time.
Yeah.
On Serenade of the Seas.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, it's had a lot of coverage on TikTok and Instagram. And
it has.
You know, become, all of it favourable.
It's become a fascination for people.
It has, yeah. I do have to admit.
Hobby.
I have watched more than one TikTok on it. But when they found out that they weren't going to be able to go through the Middle East.
And the Red Sea and the Suez Canal,
For whatever reason, I don't know if this was a head office or decision operational on the cruise line. I'd be interested to know who made that call. They then put it out to the passengers
to vote
and they could decide whether they wanted to have an Africa intensive part of it. Because no matter what happens, they have to route through Africa.
Yes. Past.
but that meant they were going to miss out a lot of Italy, Greece, etc. by doing that. Or they could instead do a couple of stops in Africa.
Yeah.
They ended up with an extra couple of sea days. I think they were going to have 26 sea days plus 21. But they would then go up and do Greece and the islands up there.
Yeah.
Which, for me, it seemed like an obvious bit that they're probably going to pick that Grecian side. Because
they're doing Tenerife as well. There's Canaries. And
yeah,
up to there,
so they'll go up there. But I just thought it was just such a strange decision to put it out to a vote.
No, I mean, I think they just want to, have people feel included because it's a big change. And it seems a bit...
Which one would you have voted on out of interest?
I would have voted, because there's quite a few more sea days added, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Not consecutive.
But I think when you're also on a world cruise that's 9 months long, you've got a lot of sea days anyway.
You do.
So is five really that much more?
Well, it's not five, it's like 25.
No, they already had sea days anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so
but we're going to be 25 or 26 rather than 21.
Canaries and Greece, I think. Yeah.
See, they were still doing some stops in Africa, like Cape Town and things.
Yeah.
But
Namibia, I think, as well.
Or Madagascar somewhere.
Madagascar was the other one. This one included the Seychelles.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would have definitely voted on that. But I just thought it were an interesting piece for them to sort of do that side.
Yeah.
Now, we're coming towards the end of our very first episode.
I hope you're still with us.
Hopefully you are. One of the weirdest requests that we've had.
We get quite a few, actually.
Yeah, but I found this one weird. But we thought we'd try it for the first podcast on either the Facebook group or the YouTube channel where people put comments on. Is that
I'm going to have to put my glasses on.
Well, I'm going to say you definitely need your glasses on for this next bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they would like to hear Lindsay read a cocktail menu. So if you do want to drop out at this point, thank you for watching or listening. We appreciate it. But we're just going to have about a minute of Lindsay reading a cocktail menu. and then that'll bring us to the end of the episode. So do you just want to say bye-bye before you go into this?
I'll say bye-bye now. I'm a firm believer of giving the people what they want. And
this may not ever come back into a future episode.
It may not ever come back.
So if you do like Lindsay reads a menu, please let us know in the comments.
Maybe suggest a menu and a ship.
A menu and a ship, and you know what, whether you want her to read some food out or cocktails, whatever you'd like.
The spa menu.
The spa menu.
Okay.
That'd just be so weird.
Okay.
The sort of Swedish massage section.
Okay, so.
But before you go on to it, thank you all for joining us for this first episode. We hope you've enjoyed it. Whether you're watching it via YouTube or you're listening to us, and we'll look forward to joining you for episode two. I will now hand over to Lindsay. Sit here quiet. Drink my drink and listen to the cocktails.
So we're back in the Commodore Club again.
Oh, is this why you're insisting that
we're
earlier?
In Cunard? I'm trying to theme it. I'm a professional.
That's what I've always said.
Thank you. So here we go. So this is the contemporary collection on board Cunard ships. Well, first of all, we're going to start with the Shall I do the prices as well?
No, just the cocktail and the ingredients. Okay, so and just do three. I think that's three? All that people can cope
I've got with. Five on my list.
Okay, go for it then.
Thank you. First of all, we're starting with penicillin, which is Beaumont 10-year-old dark and intense. It's nice. King's ginger liqueur, honey water, and freshly squeezed lemon juice. Then we go to a smoky whiskey sour, Van Brunt Stillhouse smoked corn whiskey, freshly squeezed lemon juice, maple syrup, and Angostura bitters. I like that.
This is so surreal.
Pomatini, which is a El Jimador Blanco tequila, Cointreau, pomegranate syrup, freshly squeezed lemon juice. There's a lot of lemon juice in these cocktails.
There is. Lemon juice is cheap.
Old Fashioned Deluxe, Van Brunt Stillhouse rye whiskey again, Maker's Mark bourbon, Angostura bitters, and sugar syrup. And then finally, a slow gin Negroni with Three Queens gin of your choice, Pickering slow gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth. So I'm going to have that one. So cheers.
Cheers, Lance.
Thank you for listening and have a lovely day.